Time to talk a little Red Sox baseball. The farm system is. We're joined by our friend Chris Hatfield of SoxProspects.com. Chris, good afternoon.
Rich, what's going on, man? It's always a pleasure to come on. Hope you're doing well on this Tuesday.
Absolutely. Well, Chris, the Major League team is having a great year, and now the effort is underway to restock that farm system. Let's talk with the draft and the good news that it looks like they have convinced their first pick to forgo college and sign with the Sox.
Yeah, in fact, it looks like they're going to get a bunch of guys into the system really quickly. The first pick of their draft at number 26 overall is an infielder by the name of Tristan Casas. He's a high schooler out of Florida, and it looks like he's going to accept slot value for that pick, which is a shade over $2.5 million. You can understand why. to forego his commitment to Miami, and that's a great get for them. I really like the pick. He's an atypical pick, which was really a theme of this draft for them. They drafted a bunch of guys whose best tool is raw power. Another guy on day two who basically has one carrying tool and plus speed. You know, really not a typical draft for the Red Sox, where they went with these guys who had one really standout tool, and if everything else coalesces around it, things will go well. You know, you wonder whether that's just comments on the state of the system, or maybe they're just changing the way they do amateur scouting. But Casas is a nice get. Like I said, at least plus raw power. He's got an advanced approach. It's not like he's some raw kid who's not going to be able to get to that power. They're going to start him at third base in pro ball. I'm skeptical based on what I've seen in video. I think, and a lot of people seem to think, he's going to move to first base at some point down the line. And but, you know, he's a guy who'll come right in and be a top five prospect in the system, maybe as high as the number two prospect in the system. We really haven't narrowed it down that much. People will have to wait until our first rankings update after he signs, which will either be July 1 or July 15th, to see where he slots. But he's an exciting player for them to get in the system, especially for slot value with the pick.
And then with his second round pick, a guy with a built-in nickname, if you go with it, Nick Upper Decker.
Yeah, you know, it's a great nickname. It makes sense because he's another guy who's got plus raw power. He's a high schooler out of New Jersey. He's apparently also going to sign for a little bit over slot, about $230,000 over slot, according to Alex Speer at the Globe. You know, like I said, another guy with plus raw. He was committed to Maryland, but he was ranked by MLB.com in Perfect Game as a top 100 prospect. Baseball America had him at 110 on their list, but you know, a fine pick at number 64. He'll probably be a top 15 guy, somewhere in the 8 to 15 range, for us rankings-wise. He's apparently going to start in center field in pro ball, is what we've been hearing, but he might be destined for a corner outfield spot long-term. He's got plus arm strength as well, so he can probably stay in right, you would think. But again, between those two guys who were there for their two picks on day one of the draft, not really the typical kind of guys you'd see them take, you know, consecutive high school position players with plus raw power. We were actually pretty excited about it, frankly. So it'll be interesting to see how those guys do upon signing. I would assume both of them start in the Rookie Gulf Coast League.
Anybody else out of those early picks that you guys are intrigued by?
Yeah, you know, the third round pick was a guy by the name of Durbin Feltman. And he's interesting in part because he was the closer at TCU. On day two, the Red Sox, you know, day two is picks in rounds 3 through 10. The Red Sox took all college guys, which was interesting after they went all high school on day one. But, you know, Feltman, and actually the fifth round pick, Thad Ward, that they took was also mostly a reliever at Central Florida. He was more of a swingman. They almost seemed to punt on starting pitching in this draft, which was really interesting. But Feltman closed the TCU, and he's got 270 pitches, according to scouting reports. And if you watch video, you see it. He's got a double plus fastball and a double plus slider, which just has wicked movement. And he was described by Jim Callis at MLB.com as being the player in this draft who has the chance to move quickest to the major leagues, potentially even by the end of this season. We're hearing in the report today by Alex Speer that he's apparently going to start in short season lull. To me, that would seem to show the Red Sox aren't really planning on having him move up quite that quickly. But who knows? Maybe he gets in the lull, blows guys away in, you know, 2, 3, 4 outings and just starts moving up really quickly. But, you know, if you watch the video, you can tell he's a reliever all the way. But with two wipeout pitches, you wonder, that could easily play up in a major league bullpen. as soon as maybe this fall, but I think maybe more likely next season unless the team gets really desperate down the stretch. Again, really atypical pick for them that early. You know, you'll see them take a college reliever but intend to move him to the rotation. You kind of wonder if the way the game is changing, the way scouting is changing, they might be more okay with drafting a guy in the third round who could be a future late-inning reliever, and we actually kind of like the pick there. You know, it's not like they're using a first-rounder on him. So he's interesting. One more guy I wanted to mention is their 11th rounder, Nick Northcutt, third baseman. He's a high schooler out of Ohio. He had a commitment to Vanderbilt, and apparently the Red Sox are going to be able to get him under contract and sign him out of his commitment to Vanderbilt, which, you know, those things, based on what you hear, it's almost like they're signed in blood, practically. But he signed for essentially third-round money. Apparently he's going to sign for $565K. You know, that's a little bit of around the slot that Feltman's pick in the third round would have been worth. And that's a great get for them if that's true. He was ranked as a top 100 prospect across the publications that ranks draftees. You know, another guy that, you know, an 11th round pick isn't necessarily a sure thing, but if they get him under contract, it looks like this has the potential to be a really nice draft for the organization.
We're talking with Chris Hatfield of SoxProspects.com. Well, they need some of these pitchers to pay off because some of the earlier picks have been struggling. Trey Ball's difficulties, well-documented. Tanner Houck having a very tough year. Jay Groom scheduled to get Tommy John surgery. It has not gone well for some of these future pitching talents for the Red Sox.
Yeah, especially at the top. You know, it's kind of funny. The the Salem rotation coming into the year was probably what we were most excited about, and they almost across the board haven't been all that great. Mata has been better as of Brian Mata, the right-hander there, has been better as of late. Houck has struggled. But, you know, I'm willing to give him a mulligan. Essentially, the Red Sox are doing a really interesting thing with him, considering he was their first-round pick last year out of Missouri, and then, you know, the SEC, which is the top baseball conference in the country. They basically are remaking him entirely. He was a guy who came out of college mostly throwing sliders and two-seam fastballs. They have him incorporating a four-seam fastball a lot more, so he's throwing down almost 50-50 and having him work on a standard kind of a knuckle curve, like a spike curve ball, and working in a changeup. Considering the fact that he's basically becoming a completely different pitcher, in addition to throwing those, he's changing his mechanics a little bit. I'm willing to give him a little bit of a mulligan. I was actually kind of surprised, given all of that, that they didn't give him, you know, maybe a month in low-A Greenville to kind of consolidate things before being challenged at the high-A level. Adversity in the minors isn't the worst thing sometimes for a guy like that. As for Groom, I mean, for a guy who only threw about 50 innings last year at the level he was supposed to be at because of injury, you know, going down to Tommy John surgery when he did, he's had the surgery. He posted the standard social media posts from his hospital bed posing with Dr. I think it was Andrews, it might have been Altrocki, though. But he's had the Tommy John. I mean, he's missing all of this year, and you would presume most, if not all, of next. You know, he's going to go into the 2020 season having about 50 innings of pro ball under his belt, which is not great. Just a really rough development for that guy who looked great in camp. We were really excited about what Groom was going to do this year. He looked like he had the chance, you know, to really see his stock rise. Instead, he's no longer our top prospect. So, you know, some things going wrong down on the farm on the pitching end, but on the other end, maybe not the best time to bring this up, but Jalen Beeks has been great in Pawtucket. Struggled in his debut last week. But he's struck out 80 batters in 56 innings in Pawtucket, and I'm willing to give a guy a mulligan for his first time under the bright lights in the major leagues. So it'll be interesting to see if he's making himself into a true major league starting pitcher. Might be a reliever long term, who knows, but he's had a pretty good year. And Mike Schwarren up there in Portland in AA has had a pretty good year, 2016 fifth round draft pick. He's got 59 strikeouts in 63 innings. He's been holding his own at the AA level. So not all bad on the pitching end.
Tell me a little bit about this shortstop who's a fortune seemed to be on the rise at Salem, C.J. Chatham, who has moved up to number 8 with a bullet on your prospects list.
Well, full disclosure, Rich, I got to tell you, you know, part of his moving up, you know, it's slim times down on the farm for the Red Sox right now, in part because of trades, in part because of guys graduating. You know, you consider the fact that Rafael Devers would be the youngest player on the high-A Salem Red Sox right now, which is kind of insane to think about. But, you know, Chatham, the thing with him has always just been health. In 2016, he got drafted in the second round out of Florida Atlantic. And during his, you know, his physical, when he got signed, they learned that he had broken a bone in his hand during regionals, during the NCAA tournament. So he missed some time then. Last year, he basically missed the entire season because of a recurring hamstring injury. He basically pulled it in his first game back, tore it, and I believe while he was rehabbing it in Fort Myers, injured the hamstring again. So he basically missed the entire year because of one hamstring injury. This year, at the beginning of the year, he had some kind of issue with his arm. We saw him in camp. He wasn't throwing. He started the year playing shortstop, went on the DL, came back and did nothing but DH. Eventually got a promotion to Salem, you know, and for a college guy drafted in 2016, you'd have hoped he'd been in Salem for a while already, just getting promoted there. But he's been hitting, and he's finally starting to play in the field again, although, of course, 3 days ago he went on the DL with a viral infection, which, you know, give the guy a pass on. It's not his fault he caught a virus. But at any rate, he's really hitting. He's a guy that's, you know, tall, doesn't look like a typical shortstop. He's long-limbed. He isn't really fast and quick like some of these shortstops you see, but he has very long strides. He's able to cover the ground that way. He looks like he can stick at the position, and he's been able to hit. You know, I don't know if we've seen enough yet to say that he's a major league regular at the position, but definitely the tools are there if he can stay healthy and if he can, you know, stay on the field and hit the way he has and continue playing a pretty good shortstop. Maybe he becomes a guy that we like to stay at the position long term and maybe be a major league regular, but he's got a ways to go before he proves that.
So the system is undoubtedly a bit depleted right now. If the team, the major league team, looks to make a deal closing in on the deadline, now Chavis will be back from his suspension early next month. Do they have anybody that might be a lure to make a trade with a major league team?
Sorry, I missed the end of that. To trade for a major league team?
Well, who do they have that might be an interesting prospect to deal to try and improve the major league roster if they try to go that route?
Sure. I mean, it's kind of all in the eye of the beholder, frankly. You know, Chavis is an interesting guy. Like you said, he's due back in early July. And if he is able to, in the month of July, shake the rust off quickly, you know, he's been able to play down in extended spring training, but presumably once Gulf Coast League games start, he won't be able to play. But, you know, due back in early July, if he shakes the rust off, if he's able to hit like he did last year, he might be a guy that teams could be intrigued by. Again, the question with him has been, where does he play in the big leagues? Is he a third baseman? Is he a first baseman? You know, during camp this year, it really seemed like his easiest path to the majors would be as a first baseman, just because the Red Sox have Rafael Devers at third. But I mean, who knows? If Chavis were at third base in Pawtucket right now and hitting well, would there be noise right now to maybe bring up Chavis to play third and give Devers a month in Pawtucket to kind of work things out? You know, that's kind of an interesting thing that frankly just popped into my head. you know, he's probably the guy that teams would most likely be interested in. Brian Mata, who I mentioned, you know, he isn't setting the world on fire in Salem. He's a 19-year-old right-hander. He, at the beginning of the season, was the youngest player in the Carolina League by about 8 months. So, you know, even if he repeated the level next year, he'd probably be one of the youngest players in the league. He's holding his own. I mean, in 41 innings, he's got 31 strikeouts. He's walked 34 guys, which is not good, but apparently he's harnessed a little bit more velocity this offseason, making physical gains. He looks a lot stronger than he did last year. And he's a guy who actually the Red Sox, we think, based on a description that was given in a report, refused to include in the Chris Sale trade with the White Sox as kind of a third or fourth piece. So they've been very high on him for a while. We've got him at number three in the system. I could see a team really liking him if they've caught him on a good day. He's generating a lot of bad contact, so he's a guy that teams would have to be scouting heavily to really recognize it. But that might be another guy teams would be interested in. And again, you know, maybe some of these draftees, the Red Sox have not been shy about trading away draftees in the past pretty soon after drafting them. If you look at their, I believe it's the 2016 draft, you know, they've already traded a couple of guys from their first six picks and stuff. Sean Anderson, who they dealt, I believe, for Eduardo Nunez last year, and Steven Nogosek, who they, I believe, moved in the Addison Reed trade last year to the Mets. So they're not afraid to trade guys. You know, might want to wait a little bit on this year's guys, but you know, it all depends on what they're trading for as well.
Chris Hatfield, SoxProspects.com, breaking it all down for us. Chris, always a treat to talk with you. Thanks for visiting with us this afternoon. We'll do it again before too long.
Sounds like a plan, Rich. Thanks.